Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I'd like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. And given the fact that we are in the midst, I think we'll be continuing to be in the midst of a heat wave. And coming up, of course, is our national holiday, the 4th of July. I thought we'd read a little article written a while back by the very talented columnist Irv Kupcinet. He used to write this column every year around 4th of July. And 4th of July, of course, comes in the middle of the week this year. Kind of strange. I think they kind of should have said, okay, let's see what we're going to do. We're going to put it on either Friday or Monday so we have the whole week. Now it's in the middle of the week and don't really get a chance to celebrate as much as you like because of various responsibilities, but it is what it is. But Cup wrote a column with Stella Foster, in fact, who has taken over Cup's column. Stella's a very good friend. And it's entitled Yankee Doodle Dandy Time. And Cup writes, "Today, we are turning back the pages of history to celebrate our nation's birthday and recall Uncle Sam's inspiring heroes and glorious moments. This is our annual 4th of July column, dedicated to those who helped make possible man's greatest experiment in self-government. Given what this country experienced on 9/11, we really need this reminder about appreciating America and freedom. Americans, quick at self-criticism, too often ignore their country's accomplishments. Hence, on this day, we boldly accentuate the positive by repeating, with some updating, the thrilling I Am the Nation, written by Otto Whitaker when he was with the Leo Burnett ad agency. Otto wrote, "I was born July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence was my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run through my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things to many people. I am the nation, over 300 million living souls and the ghosts of millions who lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere and Crispus Attucks. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I am Washington, Jefferson, and Patrick Henry. I am John Paul Jones and Davy Crockett. My adopted sons include Lafayette and Casimir Pulaski. I am Lee, Grant, and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, the Merrimack, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead on Flanders Field, the rock of Corregidor, on the bleak slopes of Korea and the steaming jungles of Vietnam, and in the sands of Desert Storm in the War on Terrorism. I am big and sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific, with my arms reaching out to embrace Hawaii and Alaska. I am forest and field, in mountains and desert. I am quiet villages and cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Benjamin Franklin in the streets of Philadelphia with a loaf of bread under his arm. And you can see Betsy Ross with her needle. You can see the lights of Christmas and hear the strains of Auld Lang Syne as the calendar turns. I am Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, Jack Dempsey, and Muhammad Ali. I am more than 300,000 churches where my people worship as they think best. I am a ballot dropped into a box, the roar of the crowd at the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals or the World Series. I am an editorial and a letter to your congressman. Yes, I am the nation and these are the things I am. I was conceived in liberty and, God willing, in freedom I will spend the rest of my days to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope. This is my wish on July 4th, 2012, 236 years after I was born. Very touching little column from Irv Kupston. It became a regular traditional legacy I thought we'd carry on, but certainly carry on by Stella Foster. And very touching, touching column. And so we wish everybody a happy 4th of July coming up, without a doubt. And if you're looking for something to do for the kids or something, of course, at the Provision Theater. Are you searching for an exciting theater program for your young, aspiring performer? Look no further than the Provision Theater Youth Program. Join us for a week of theater education, application, and performance at Provision Theater Summer Camp. This musical theater-based camp is for kids ages 5 to 11 and teenagers 12 through 16 who are interested in taking the stage, whether it's for the first time or the 100th time. Led by a staff of highly trained, nurturing professionals, daily activities include workshops in acting, dancing, and singing. Collaborative games that further explore the principles and foundational tools learned throughout the day. Special topics workshops in such areas as scenic artistry, costuming, and makeup design, to name a few. Wacky daily theme competitions that enhance creativity and team unity, and rehearsals for an end-of-the-week showcase performance. In addition to getting a solid understanding of the creative process involved in putting on a production, campers will be empowered to become more self-confident, equipped to express themselves creatively, and encouraged to make informed choices not only as artists, but as budding citizens of society. There are 6 different weeks left to choose from, depending on the campers' ages and interests, and each week features a completely different theme and production showcase. Bring along a journal and a pencil for taking notes throughout workshops and rehearsals. Come be a part of this creative, enriching, and unforgettable experience. And it is an unforgettable experience for the kids and something that we can't lose sight of because it's a lot of fun for them. Priscilla Hummel, who is our education director at the Provision Theater, I'm honored to serve on the board of the Provision Theater with Tim Gregory as our artistic director, does a terrific job. Give Priscilla a call at 312-455-0065. Or email her at phummel, H-U-M-M-E-L, at provisiontheater.org. Certainly a lot of fun. And for the kids, you have sports camps. You have all different kinds of camps. Theater camp, a little different. Gives them a little self-confidence, something they'd enjoy doing. I want to remember to mention that our good friend Lori Shelley is putting together a tribute to the great Tony Bennett. And it's going to be on Wednesday, July 18th, at 8 and 11:30. At Katerina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road in Chicago. With her will be Jeremy Kahn, of course, her musical director, an arranger and accompanist, Eric Hochberg on the bass, Bob Rummage on the drums, and David Gross on the trombone. But it should be a nice evening. Two shows, again, at 8 and 11:30. Katerina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road. For information, 773-348-7592, or go on to Shelley's website, ChicagoJazz.com/Lori Shelley. Very talented lady. Of course, we have her on the show many times to talk about what she's doing. Always something interesting. A nice evening with Tony Bennett for Once in My Life, Because of You, in San Francisco, among others. And it should be a great evening. Looking forward to coming up on Wednesday, July 11th at the Anderson's Bookshop in Naperville. Thursday, July 12th at the Warren Newport Library in Gurnee. And the Cook Memorial Library at the Libertyville Civic Center in Libertyville. A presentation by the very talented author Karen Slaughter is a widely regarded as a literary force who consistently delivers character-driven, compelling, issue-based novels that inform and entertain. This summer, Karen Slaughter returns with Criminal, and as Lee Child praised, great writer Lee Child praised, gives readers her best yet by far. With Criminal, Slaughter flashes back 40 years to Atlanta of the 1970s, turning her keen eye and sharp sense of justice on issues that remain as relevant today as they did then. An era of great upheaval, civil rights and integration, pushed against a culture rooted in racism and sexism. It is through the lens of the past that Karen Slaughter shines light on how deeply divisive and potent these issues remain today. Very talented lady. In fact, some of her other books, if I can pick these out... Criminal, Fallen, Broken, Undone, Fractured, Beyond Reach. Of course, we've had Karen on the show before, a very talented lady. And she's also involved in the Save the Libraries Foundation. And we were able to talk with her a little bit about that. We're going to have her on the show in the next couple of weeks. I'm not so sure we'll have her on before she's able to come into town. But we certainly will talk with her about this book and all the other great things she's doing with Save the Libraries. And very talented lady. So keep your eye out for that book. I think it's out already. Criminal by Karen Slaughter. Of course, we have our had a lot of fun last week at the Promenade of Art. Amy Amdur's productions, of course, out at Arlington Heights, the art fair, and it was a great day, and very talented people, especially a lot of them. The sculpture, metal sculpture, geez, there were some talented people out there. But coming up July 6th, 7th, and 8th is the Art Festival at the Chicago Botanic Garden, 10 to 5 in Glencoe, and it should be a great time, and certainly the Botanic Garden is a beautiful place to wander around and certainly a beautiful place to have an art festival. So if you are so inclined, take advantage of that and go on to Amy's website, Amdur, A-M-D-U-R, productions.com. Always a lot of fun things to do and certainly a lot of fun things to see. Well, one of the things we saw last week was we had the opening of Rain, tribute to the Beatles. Wow, was it great. What great music. Indescribable. You know, you talked about the Jersey Boys, you know, a few weeks ago when they were in town for their show. But you just can't imagine all of the songs that the Beatles wrote, one after another, all hits. And do a great job. We have one of the stars of Rain, Jim Irizarry, who's a Southside guy himself from Brother Rice. And he portrays John Lennon. But it's a great, just a great time in the theater if you have the opportunity. It's only going to be here for a week or so. Make sure you get down to see it. And our first guest is going to be Rock of Ages. So we're going from the 60s to the 70s and 80s with some of the music. But a lot of great theater in Chicago, a lot of great musical theater in Chicago. If you have the opportunity, make sure you get down. Of course, make sure you're safe celebrating 4th of July. We'll say this. No fireworks with the kids. Let the professionals handle that. But we'll still have problems. You know, one of the things they were talking about, too, is the fact that because things are so dry, fireworks are concerned, which is very true. You never know whether it'll land, on a wooden roof or a cedar roof or in the forest somewhere or on a prairie and ignite something. And that would be kind of dangerous. So make sure that you keep an eye on that. But because of the fact that we're going to be talking with one of the Beatles, I thought we'd play our music from the Beatles, one of my favorite songs, Nowhere Man. And we'll be back on the Kevin Moore Show.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? Nowhere man. Listen, you don't know what you're missing.
Beatles, Nowhere Man, we're back on the Kevin Moore Show. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce that the 5-time Tony Award-nominated musical Rock of Ages is playing at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place, 175 East Chestnut, showcasing a highly entertaining, intimate rock concert experience through August 5th. In 1987, on the Sunset Strip, a small-town girl met a big-city dreamer, and in L.A.'s most legendary rock club, they fell in love to the greatest songs of the 80s. It's Rock of Ages, a hilarious, feel-good love story told through the hit songs of iconic rockers Journey, Styx, REO Speedwagon, Foreigner, Pat Benatar, Whitesnake, and many more. This 5-time Tony-nominated musical, now a star-studded motion picture, is rocking its way across the United States. Don't miss this awesomely good time about dreaming big, playing loud, and partying on. And on the line with us right now is a graduate of both the University of Northern Iowa and New York's American Musical and Dramatic Academy. Named one of Broadway's rising stars, Jake has been seen in Spamalot, Paint Your Wagon, and Silk Stockings, one of the brightest young stars in musical theater, now starring in the Tony Award-nominated musical Rock of Ages, now playing at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place, 175 East Chestnut, one block east of Michigan Avenue. Mr. Jacob Smith. Jake, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you, and welcome to Chicago. Have you been here before?
I have. You know, like you said, I'm a graduate of the University of Northern Iowa, so we came to Chicago quite often to just to get away for a weekend and get out of the state for a while and see something new,
to party on a little bit, right?
Exactly.
And you're doing that, continuing to do that in Rock of Ages. What a great time in the theater! Certainly a lot of enthusiasm and energy, and now it's a great movie. Must be fun to be in it, Jake.
Oh, it's such a blast, and I've only been with this cast for a short amount of time, but it has been one of the most entertaining experiences that I've had as an actor, and I absolutely love it.
Now, you have kind of concentrated on, in your career, on kind of musical theater. Is this kind of something that you enjoy doing and want to continue to do?
It's a little bit out of my comfort zone and realm as far as musical theater goes. I'm much more of a 50s and 60s kind of guy.
Oh, really?
Like Rodgers and Hart but this is, it's so fun to switch it up and do new material, and I absolutely love it. If I could, I would stay on for a long time.
Now, are you familiar, before you started performing in Rock of Ages, were you familiar with the music, and did you listen to the music yourself?
Oh, you betcha. I mean, I was born in the 80s. I grew up in the 80s. That's all my older brothers listen to and my parents, and I absolutely love it. Journey, Foreigner, Styx, you name it. I'm a huge fan anyway. So getting to actually sing it and perform it, it's a bit of a dream come true.
Well, you look at some of the songs, of course, Don't Stop Believin' and Harden My Heart, Can't Fight This Feeling, Renegade, I Want to Know What Love Is. I mean, those are classics that even they're regenerated here now in this musical, they'll last forever.
Oh, definitely. And, think whatever you want to about shows like Glee and stuff like that, but even shows like that are bringing these songs, these classic, amazing songs, and are kind of revamping them and bringing them even to these new generations. And the writing is so good, and the music is so good. Yeah, they'll never die. They'll go on forever.
A loaded question. Have you seen the movie yet?
I did. I saw it, the midnight release. I tell you what, it's an entertaining film. It's very, very different from our show, but it's also very entertaining.
Have you developed kind of a family-like atmosphere with the group that's part of Rock of Ages? Because it seems like since you're traveling around seeing the show with you guys, it seems like you have a great friendship and a great camaraderie together.
Oh, definitely. And I'm a little bit of a special circumstance. I'm a short-term replacement on the show, and only have a couple weeks left with this cast, but they all pulled together so amazingly well to get me into this show and to support me and to get me going with it. And it really is a family atmosphere on stage every night. We all look out for each other. We goof around with each other. And we just have a lot of fun. And tour is its own little bubble and interesting experience. But overall, it really is a one big happy family, and I don't know. It's one of the best casts I think I've ever worked with.
It's the kind of show, it seems like, Jake, that it lends itself to somewhat of improvisation. I know there's certain things you have to perform, and you you know, you practice that and you rehearse that and so forth. But I imagine there's a little bit of flexibility as you do the show night in and night out.
Definitely. This is one of the most audience-focused shows that I've ever been in. We really do depend on the audience for feedback and, you know, for getting into the show. And obviously every audience is a little bit different, which always keeps us on our toes. Sometimes we have very vocal audiences who scream out during, you know, interesting parts of the show that we can kind of feed off of and react to. And but yeah, it is definitely a lot of improv, and it's very focused depending on the venue that we're at and the city that we're in. So we get to play around with Chi-Town a little bit. Love it.
Well, it must be an instant gratification because you can tell right from the beginning that people are enjoying this because of their excitement and energy that you see them react to throughout the show.
Oh, you bet. As soon as the voiceover goes, "Please welcome Arsenal," and our band starts to play, and Chris Cicchino, our lead guitarist, comes down, like the everybody just starts getting into it and screaming and clapping and everything. It's a great energy and a wonderful thing to experience.
Well, for some of the people who haven't seen it yet, just give us a brief overview of what the story is about, Jake.
Sure. It's set in the mid to late 80s and takes place in L.A. And it really focuses on Sherry, this girl from the Midwest who comes out to L.A. to try and make it as an actress, and her relationship with Drew, who is a barback at the Bourbon Room, which is a bar owned by my character, Dennis. So it really is a love story between Sherry and Drew. There are a lot of shenanigans that happen in the meantime. You've got the rock god, Stacy Jacks, played by Tom Cruise in the movie.
Right.
He comes in and kind of stirs things up a little bit. But it really is a nostalgic show. If you grew up in the 80s or have ever heard a song from the 80s, and who hasn't, you're gonna love it and identify with it. And the story is just, it's a feel-good show.
You know, that's a good way to describe it. It's a feel-good show. A lot of times you go to the theater and you know yourself. You've been in the theater long enough to know you go out, and after a few hours you go, what did I just do for the last 2 hours? Here you go out and you know what you did for the last 2 hours.
Exactly. You know what you're getting into with our show, and you know that you're going to come away feeling just great.
Well, what's the next step for Jacob Smith? Do you know yet?
Well, I'm auditioning for the next year of this tour.
Great.
I've loved being here so much that I'm going to try and get on it as a permanent role and see what happens there. But if that doesn't pan out, I'll be heading back to New York and start auditioning there again for the next gig.
Well, continued success. Rock of Ages is a worldwide phenomenon with smash hit productions in Australia, London, South Korea, and still rocking on Broadway, featuring 28 classic rock tunes, including Don't Stop Believin', We Built This City, The Final Countdown, Wanted Dead or Alive, Here I Go Again, Harden My Heart, Can't Fight This Feeling, Renegade, and I Know What Love Is. And now it will sit down at the Broadway Playhouse in Chicago for 9 weeks this summer. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce that the 5-time Tony Award-nominated musical Rock of Ages is playing at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place, 175 East Chestnut, one block east of Michigan, showcasing a highly entertaining, intimate rock concert experience through August of this year. And on the line with us right now, one of the stars from Rock of Ages, Jacob Smith. Jake, I'm going to give a phone number for people who like tickets, and that's 800-775-2000. Enjoy your time in Chicago. Try to keep cool and, you know, wish you success. I hope things work out. Maybe you stay with this thing a little longer.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Take care of yourself. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Jacob Smith, one of the stars of Rock of Ages. Of course, see the movie, but see the play because it's terrific in person. And the intimate atmosphere at the Broadway Playhouse is very special. It's right on Chestnut there, one block east of Water Tower Place. Well, it's in a Water Tower Place, one block east of Michigan. But certainly a great venue to see this in. Boy, talk about a lot of energy. You will come in with a lot of energy. You will come out with more energy. Of course, the great music of Journey and Styx and REO Speedwagon, Foreigner, Pat Benatar, Whitesnake, and so forth. The music of the 80s. But Rock of Ages at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. Well, let's get back to the Beatles album Rubber Soul. Another great song sung by George Harrison, If I Needed Someone. We'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
If I needed someone to love, you're the one that I'd be thinking of. If I
If I Needed Someone, we're back on The Kevin Moore Show. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce Rain, a tribute to the Beatles. The internationally acclaimed Beatles concert returns by popular demand at the Oriental Theater, 24 West Randolph, for a limited one-week engagement through July 1st. As the next best thing to seeing the Beatles, Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, performs the full range of the Beatles' discography live on stage, including the most complex and challenging songs that the Beatles themselves recorded in the studio but never performed for an audience. Together longer than the Beatles, Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, has mastered every song, gesture, and nuance of the legendary foursome, delivering a totally live, note-for-note performance that's as infectious as it is transporting. From the early hits to later classics, I Want to Hold Your Hand, Hard Day's Night, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, Let It Be, Come Together, Hey Jude, and more, this adoring tribute will take you back to a time when all you needed was love and a little help from your friends. Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, covers the Fab Four from their very first Ed Sullivan Show appearance through the Abbey Road album, through the psychedelic late 60s and their long-haired, hippie, hard-rocking rooftop days. Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, is a multimedia, multidimensional experience. A fusion of historical footage and hilarious television commercials from the 60s lights up video screens and live cameras zoom in for close-ups. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning musician, accomplished on the guitar, piano, and harmonica, nationally recognized vocalist, proud Brother Rice Crusader from the South Side, a person sincerely dedicated in continuing the legacy of the iconic and legendary group The Beatles, now starring as John Lennon in the smash hit musical Rain, a tribute to The Beatles at the Oriental Theater, 24 West Randolph, Mr. Jim Irizarry. Jimmy, welcome to The Kevin Moore Show.
Hello, Kevin.
Well, it's great to have you, and certainly congratulations. As I said before in our little chat, I've seen this a few times. I don't think I've ever seen it as good. You guys just do a terrific job, Jim.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, we love it. It's a fantastic show. You know, you can't miss. It's for the whole family. You know, so if you have a chance, come out and see the show. It's a fantastic family show.
You know, I think that's a good point you make. It is a family show because when we're there, and you guys mentioned it on stage, you see grandpas and you see parents and you see kids, and everybody is just rocking and rolling.
We see, yeah, three generations of folks there, and, you know, everybody just enjoys it. Beatles never go out of style. Everyone, you know, appreciates that kind of music.
You know, of course, a couple of weeks ago, we had the opportunity of having Jersey Boys in Chicago, and of course, I'm sure you've seen that show. It's a great musical, and
I wish I had seen that.
You know, a lot of fun, and you sit there, and at the end of the show, Jimmy, you say, boy, they had a lot of hits. Then you go to Rain, and you go, holy cats, how could that happen? I mean, week after week for years, they had a hit or number one song on the charts.
Very true. Yes, the Beatles, they churned them out, you know, one after another, year after year. And as I say, you know, the music is just incredible, you know, it's legendary. It never goes out of style. It'll always be popular, always will have a great audience.
You know what I noticed, too, and I think the way you do it almost chronologically, the Beatles start and you see their music, and it's a little more simple music than, of course, as they evolved. But you see that evolution of the music, and it becomes more sophisticated and becomes a little deeper and more philosophical. And you can see that and feel that on the stage. You guys do that such a great job doing that.
Oh, thank you. Yes, very true. Yeah, we pay very close attention to detail with the music and with the personalities of the Beatles, and we just try to give you a fantasy concert type of thing, you know. What if the Beatles were to come and just do this whole chronological show, starting with the Beatles' appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show and going through all the years and finishing up with, you know, the last Beatles album, Abbey Road.
Had you always been interested in the Beatles, even as a young man?
Oh, yes. Well, I sort of was introduced from listening to my older brother's records, and they had quite a few Beatles records there, so I, right away, you know, that just became my favorite, and just, you know, got me playing guitar by the age of 11 or 12, and really, you know, it's just been my favorite group.
Was John Lennon always somebody you kind of gravitated to, or were you kind of spread it across the other members of the group?
I was always a big fan of all of them. I liked them all, you know, but as far as musically, I think John was the best fit for me because he was a rhythm guitarist, and that was my kind of main thing. I wanted to play rhythm guitar so that I could sing. Always liked to sing, and So from there, I actually took up piano when I was in high school, and same thing, you know, learn the chords and sing to it and learn all those songs and have fun. Great stuff.
Well, we're having fun now watching you. When you were at Brother Ice, did you have a band then, even at a younger age?
No, not really. I just, you know, I would play with some friends, and mm-hmm. we would jam a bit after school or so, you know, and that was about it. But later on, you know, I became more into doing some professional pursuits with that.
And one of the interesting things, too, is you were able to visit the Cavern Club where the Beatles started in England.
That's true, yes. That's my other band, and we were there on two occasions, 2 years in a row, uh-huh. 2008 and 2009. Fabulous experience to go back there, you know, tread on the ground where the boys started.
I bet it was, huh?
We were back in the early days, yes. And the Cavern Club is just as it was back then, you know. It's about 110 degrees down there. And I do believe I contracted the Cavern Flu, the infamous Cavern Flu. Horrible sore throat and cold.
But you were there at least.
I don't know, but I did it somehow.
But you were there. It's fun to watch also and see, besides being great vocalists and besides being great songwriters, the Beatles were great musicians, and I didn't realize as great a drummer as Ringo was,
yes,
you know, John.
He was one of the most underrated drummers of
yeah.
all time, you know, but he's fantastic.
It was funny, he was on the Today Show giving Matt Lauer some drum lessons here a couple of weeks ago. It was fun to see him, and he's still got that kind of humor to him, you know. He still looks like he's full of energy and enjoys what he's doing.
Yeah, fantastic. You know, it's hard to believe these guys are into their 70s now, you know, but it's like they're timeless, they're ageless.
Well, when you were young and you were learning your craft, of course, and learning about music, did you look, other than the Beatles, did you look up to any other musicians that you kind of patterned yourself after, whether they were vocalists or whether they were guitar players or piano players?
I've always been a fan of you know, the older music, Elvis Presley and...
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go into swing or jazz music, you know, Frank Sinatra, Rat Pack.
Really?
I'm a big fan of that type of music, and I think it's, you know, very quality stuff. I just enjoy it.
I didn't realize that, and I certainly did watching the show the other evening, that the Beatles looked up to Elvis Presley quite a bit. I think that there was a connection there in some of his music with theirs. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you keep your enthusiasm for the show? You've been doing it for a while. How long are you in the group?
I've been in the group about 2.5 years.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always an exciting show. It's always a new audience, you know, and it's a challenge. I'd like to see all kinds of people out there. Sometimes we get a younger crowd, often on the matinee shows on the weekend.
Right, right.
A lot of kids out there just kind of discovering the music. And we love to, you know, just turn the kids on to it and see them get into it and really enjoy it. I mean, it's good stuff. As I said, it'll never go out of style. You know, it's always there.
Well, your enthusiasm is infectious, Jim, very true, and as with everyone in the group, because you can't fake that, and you can see that you guys are enjoying it, and certainly by the reaction you get from the audience,
yeah,
you know they
sure.
are, too.
We're having fun up there. We're the biggest fans ourselves, you know, and we go up there, and it's a ball, you know, just... having fun on stage and playing our favorite music.
Now, you going to bring back the show maybe to the gym over at 99th and Pulaski?
Yeah, never know.
I could see Will Kellogg with maybe a Beatles wig up there or something like that.
Maybe.
Okay, ladies and lads, it's time to think back to February 1964 when that phenomenon known as the British Invasion got underway, that moment when four mop tops bearing the names John, Paul, George, and Ringo crossed the pond and took to the airways by way of the Ed Sullivan Show, triggering a new wave of Beatles nostalgia as Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, the theatrical concert, all music is performed live in a perfect note-for-note performance. So dress up in your old Carnaby Street finest, from mod frocks to Beatles boots, and get ready for an archivally infused multimedia extravaganza. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, the internationally acclaimed Beatles concert returns by popular demand at the Oriental Theater, 24 West Randolph, for a limited one-week engagement through July 1st. And on the line with us right now is our good friend Jim Irizarry from Brother Ice High School, who portrays John Lennon. Maybe in the John Lennon's vernacular, say goodbye to us if you would, Jim.
Okay, thank you very much, Kevin. Come out and see the show, everyone. It's a wonderful time. You won't be
disappointed. So come out and have fun and sing with us.
It's a great time. Indeed, it's a great time, Jimmy. I appreciate you taking a little time, and welcome back to Chicago for a short visit here, and certainly thanks for sharing your great talents with all of us.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Take care, Jim.
Take care now. Bye.
Jim Irizarry, one of the talented people in musical theater, now portraying John Lennon as the smash hit musical Rain, a tribute to the Beatles at the Oriental Theater, 24 West Randolph, for tickets 800-775-2000. And I think we might get back to play a little music from the Beatles and go through, again, one of my favorite songs, Norwegian Wood, written by John Lennon and Paul McCartney. We'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Norwegian Wood, we're back on the Kevin Moore Show. I thought I'd read a little essay about 4th of July, of course, fireworks, entitled Fireworks Signal Fresh Beginnings, written by Jack Spadafore, a very talented writer. Notice how people at 4th of July celebrations always consider the fireworks display as the finale? I'm wondering, though, if it shouldn't be seen as the overture. Gathering as a nation for the 236th time, each of our celebrations this year will have much the same purpose, personality, and program. These, in turn, will help profile today's America. The purpose? To pay homage to our freedom at home and, as our president will probably tell us, to project that same spirit around the world. The personality? To honor all those who helped shape this history of freedom by writing and defending our secular scripture, the Declaration of Independence. The program? This will be the most instructive part of the celebrations because the very same program will thread itself throughout the national tapestry at every level. Whether it's the presidential laying of the wreath in Washington or our own lakefront party or the various neighborhood parades and picnics, these programs will all feature the inevitable fireworks display. We never tire of it. It's that pyrotechnical moment when red fireballs punctuate the twilight sky, yellow explosions sweep the gathering night, and white starbursts pierce the black heavens. All the while, sonic booms echo above the cheering onlookers. What will these fireballs and starbursts be saying to us? Personally, I think they will not so much say the celebration is over as they will announce it is the only just beginning again for the 237th time. So the sound and fury of the fireworks should be far more than a rearview mirror look at America's greatness. They should constitute a bell call in the night to each of today's new Minutemen. To youngster and veteran alike, they should say that birthdays are not endings but renewals, and all those in attendance have a part to play. Therefore, to all the old men proudly wearing their purple hearts, to all the war-worried mothers clutching their flag-waving children, to all the giddy teens dancing to the music and magic of the night, this is our national birthday bash. It's something to enjoy and to relish, but also to leave with a sense not of gloried endings, but fresh beginnings. Because there is so much more for America to become. Very touching essay written by Jack Spadafora from Park Ridge. The sound and fury of the fireworks should be far more than a rearview mirror look at America. It's very true. It's not an ending. It's a beginning. Very true. Very interesting. And certainly something to celebrate. Well, here are five things you should know about Independence Day. Independence Day was not a legal holiday until 1941. Interesting. The Continental Congress celebrated the first Independence Day on July 8, 1776. The names of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, except for John Hancock and Charles Thompson, were kept secret for 6 months. The original name of the national anthem was the Defense of Fort McHenry. And more importantly, Americans eat 150 million hot dogs on Independence Day. So that's a tidbit of information about Independence Day. My next very special guest is a man who has touched the hearts and souls of so many young people, whether aspiring to be basketball players or not. He is recognized throughout the country as a leader for women's college basketball and women's sports. He is only the second male coach to serve as the president of the National Women's Basketball Coaches Association, Conference USA Coach of the Year, member of the Chicago Sports Hall of Fame, and the proud head basketball coach of the DePaul Blue Demons women's basketball team, and now named one of the coaches for the 2012 Olympic team in London this summer. I'm honored to welcome to the Kevin Moore Show our good friend, Coach Doug Brutto. Coach, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. Are you with us, sir?
No, I'm eating a hot dog.
One of the 150 million that you're eating.
Absolutely, Kevin.
Well, congratulations. I know you're busily getting together. You're at camp right now and getting ready to go out to London for the 2012 Olympics. Congratulations, and certainly the whole nation is proud of you.
We're very excited about going to London and bringing back the gold in the sport of women's basketball. But right now we're at North Central College in Naperville running our DePaul girls camp, so I've got a bunch of 10 to 11 and 12 year olds here working very, very hard today. And as much as I love coaching the greatest players in the world on our USA Olympic team, it's also great to coach these youngsters out here at camp as well.
I think you'll agree that those 10, 11, 12 year olds in years to come will be those people on the Olympic team.
Tamika Catchings from Stevenson High School and Candace Parker from Naperville Central, right out here in Naperville, are two of our Olympians, and they are both former campers, and they're two of the 12 players are from the Chicago area and from Illinois. And then also Sylvia Fowles and Swin Cash both play for the Chicago Sky, so that makes a total of four players out of the 12 have ties to Chicago and Illinois.
We got a lot of connections in London this year. That's going to be very exciting. And have you practiced with the team yet, or you go out there in the beginning of July and do that?
We don't get a lot of time to practice because our women are competing in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. They're playing professional basketball right now, the WNBA is in the summertime. So we won't get our team together until the 14th of July. We'll meet in Washington, D.C., Nike is sponsoring a festival of basketball in D.C., both the men's team with people like LeBron and Kobe on the team, and Kevin Durant will play with our team with Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, Swin Cash, and Candace Parker, Tamika Catchings, Maya Moore. We'll play in D.C. on Monday the 16th against Brazil in an exhibition game in the Verizon Center. Mm-hmm. That is already sold out. As soon as the game is over, we will charter the men and the women together to Manchester United in England. There's a great basketball facility. Everybody thinks of Manchester United only as soccer, but there's a great basketball facility attached to the outdoor soccer facility, and we will play an exhibition game there against England to promote the Olympics. Not that they really need promoting. London's done a great job. Then we fly down to Turkey for an exhibition tournament with three teams. We'll play Turkey, we'll play the Czech Republic. Then it's back to London for the opening ceremony on the 27th. And if everything goes to plan, and we're going to have some stiff competition with Russia and Australia, but if everything goes to plan, we would win gold on August 11th, which is just coming up a short couple weeks away, and our men would win gold on August 12th. But we still both have our work cut out for us, Kevin.
How many games you possibly could play, Doug?
The actual amount of games, you know, it's we're going to play on the 28th, 30th. This is pool play. It's 28th of July, the 30th of July. And then August, if for your listeners, just to get it simple, once we hit August, the women play on the odd days and the men play on the even days. Mm-hmm. So we will play 1, 3, 5, and then medal play starts. So the pool play ends on the 5th. So we will have played five games in pool play, and then we will play 3 more games if we win each game, because once you get to medal play, it's win and keep playing, lose and go home. Mm-hmm. So the quarters start on the 7th, the semifinals would be on August 9th, and the championship would be on August 11th, which celebrates my mother's 89th birthday, by the way.
God bless you.
That's all that goes, you know, that's what it's going to take. So it's 8 games total in the Olympics, 5 being pool play, and then 3 being in medal play.
Of course, these girls know each other. A lot of them do. Most of them do. And they've played either with each other or against each other. Of course, you had a great success with the European League, of course, last year and winning gold with that. So this is a good extension for that. At least they're familiar with what they're going to be going for.
Yeah, the competition is together for 2 and 3 and 4 and sometimes even 5 and 6 years. Mm-hmm. And they're obsessed with beating the United States. So, again, the fans here will see us blow some people out early in the Olympics, but then when it gets down to nitty-gritty, you know, both our men and our women are going to have our hands full as it gets down into the quarters, the semis, and the finals, you know, on any given day. Our men, for instance, back in 2008 with the great men's team of again, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and, you know, they were just Dwight Howard. That team only beat Spain 116-113 in the semifinals, and Kobe had to make some great plays down the stretch offensively, and Dwayne had to make some great plays down the stretch defensively for our men to carry the day and win gold in Beijing. So it's something that we all in America, because we invented basketball, we are going over there to expecting to win gold. And at the same time, it's not quite as simple as it looks from the outside looking in, because we haven't been together as much as the other opponents. That they've been practicing together a lot longer.
You know, as a coach of college, of course, differing coach of the Olympics, because these girls are professionals, is there a discipline issue, or is it more of a common denominator in their self-determination, knowing full well that they represent the United States and everyone pulls together, united by the common denominator?
Our women are consummate professionals, Kevin, and you know, they're just, first of all, they're great people and they're great women to be around. You know, they're a diverse group, and that's what makes basketball beautiful on all levels. Is the team that comes together and ultimately wins doesn't have to have every single player on the team be exactly the same type of human being or the same type of background, ethnically or socioeconomically. So they're all different, but they're all great people to start with. And they all understand the task at hand. They understand the mission. They understand how intense the competition is from the other side and the rest of the world. We gave the rest of the world the great sport of basketball. We taught the world how to play basketball. And now the rest of the world loves nothing more than to beat the United States in our own sport. So, but these are just great women. So that your question about discipline, you don't even have to... You know, we don't even have to even think about discipline. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's they're just, again, they're just consummate professionals, and they know what they have to do to have their bodies in the best fitness. You know, they know what to eat. They know how much sleep they need to get. They're pros, and we don't really have to spend a lot of time babying them. Our youngest two players are Maya Moore, who is a second-year player with the Minnesota Lynx, out of UConn, the great player from UConn just a couple years ago, and Tina Charles, her teammate, also from UConn, is 3 years in, you know, out of college, and those are our youngest two players. Again, Tamika Catchings is that she's going for her third gold medal.
Wow.
So you know, these women know what it's all about, and they just they have an inner drive and an inner intensity that doesn't make we coaches don't have to babysit. They're really pros.
You've played a lot of basketball. You've coached a lot of basketball. You've coached a lot of venues. You've coached a lot of championship games and been part of championship games. Does this hold a special excitement for you,
Kevin? Winning the world championships a couple of years ago is really a harder tournament to win because more teams actually make the tournament. But at the same time, the impact of the event that is the Olympics. It's a world-staged event. You know, the old Chicago was built on two great World's Fair, the turn of the century, the Columbian Expedition, and just two great World Fairs. You don't see World Fairs anymore. The Olympics actually become what and have taken the place of the old World Fair. So people are at the Olympics from all over the world, from all the countries, all the different sports. The stage is the biggest stage as there is in sport. And so it's definitely very, very exciting for me personally. And I know it's exciting. I was with Tamika Catchings last night because she played here against the Sky yesterday. And Tamika's going for her third gold, and Candace Parker's going for her second gold, and it's just as exciting to them the second and third time around as it was the first time around.
It's terrific to hear, and it's also terrific to see. Of course, I use this quotation from the great Notre Dame coach, Ara Parseghian: a good coach leads and teaches. A great coach makes his players see what they can be rather than what they are. And I think that certainly reflects the way you've handled your teams, your girls, everyone you've interacted with. I think that's what it's going to be like at the Olympics. Everybody's excited. We have the whole nation behind you and Gino Auriemma. And who's the other coaches that are involved in the Olympics?
Marinelle Metters is the head coach of the Atlanta Dream in the WNBA, and she's a veteran coach. She's been coaching close to 40 years just like I have. And then Jen Gillum is the assistant coach for the Washington Mystics of the WNBA. And Jennifer Gillum won gold herself as a player back in 1988. So we've got a little bit of a mix here. We've got two collegiate coaches and Coach Auriemma, who's a great coach and does a great job. And then we have two coaches from the WNBA, and Marinelle Metters and Jennifer Gillum.
Well, I know you and Gino are good friends and great competitors and certainly know each other from the Big East, and it's going to be an exciting year coming up. I know you're excited about that, but this is the first thing on the plate, of course. Looking forward to Olympics, and certainly we'll be looking forward to the great opening ceremonies. That's going to be a hoot. That's going to be just a lot of fun watching that.
Ralph Lauren, he outfits everybody in the United States. And so he provides all the wear. When you see all the United States teams marching in the opening ceremony, all the clothing has been provided by Ralph Lauren. They actually have a fitting day for each athlete. Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Ralph wouldn't want us looking shabby at the opening ceremony. So, you know, it's really kind of interesting. But the 27th is opening ceremony, and you can catch it all on NBC. Yeah, just again, and the United States, I hope you're able to watch some great women's hoops.
Yeah, I've been trying to get you to wear Ralph Lauren for years, and all of a sudden, now you're wearing it.
Thank you, Kevin.
I would never
have had it fitted. I sent them a 46 long, and that's enough for me.
You know, of course, it'd be a great way to celebrate Mom's birthday, too, come home with a goal. I think that the timing is perfect.
It's just one of those things where you're blessed to have parents. We're all blessed to have parents, and some of us are blessed to have parents longer than others. And I know your parents were great people, Kevin, and you lost both your parents. I lost my dad a couple of years ago, but my mom, Drotha Stewart, from Artesia, New Mexico, is doing very, very well. So, you know, we're excited to still have her, and hopefully we're going to give her a birthday present one day late on the 11th. Her birthday's the 10th.
She'll always remember it. My pal, always appreciate taking a little time. God bless you. Good luck. And certainly the whole nation is behind you.
Thanks, Kevin. Go USA.
Thank you, Coach Bruno. Coach Doug Bruno from the DePaul University women's basketball team. Of course, going to the Olympics, 2012 Olympics, and we're so very, very excited for him. Coach Bruno and I have been together for many years, so very proud of him, certainly very proud as he makes his new journey, a very exciting journey, to London for the 2012 Olympics. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. Especially like to thank Mr. Jimmy Irizarry, who portrays John Lennon in the smash hit musical Rain, a tribute to the Beatles at the Oriental Theater, 24 West Randolph. For information, 800-775-2000. Jacob Smith, who is in the rock musical Rock of Ages, now playing at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place, 175 East Chestnut, one block east of Michigan Avenue. For information, 800-775-2000. The music of the 80s. And finally, our good pal Coach Doug Bruno, the head coach of the DePaul women's basketball team and coach of the 2012 USA Olympic team in London. And if you want to get in touch with Doug at DePaul University, 773-325-7505. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week. And as that British group once said, and by that British group, you know I mean the Beatles, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Happy 4th of July and have a great day.
And if we know we're always changing, why should it be the same? And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart. It's time you hear her name. I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more afraid. In your eyes I may not see forever. Forever. If we can be the best lovers, yet be the best of friends.